are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. Well, as expected, the Senate, controlled by the Republican Party, released or revealed its bill, or at least draft of a bill, to repeal Obamacare. And I've listened to several senators, and what they emphasize right off the bat, we're going to repeal the penalties if you don't buy health insurance, and we're going to repeal the mandates, the individual mandates and the employer mandates. That's the lead, if you will. No surprises there. That's the bare minimum. That's what the people were expecting. That's what they hated. And that's, I think, the biggest mistake the Democrats made and the biggest mistake Obama made. He went along with Hillary Clinton. Remember Hillary Clinton? She wanted to mandate it. She wanted to force you to buy health insurance. And Obama went along, and I said, don't force anybody to buy anything, especially something that's designed by the government in cahoots with the very largest insurance companies. It's beyond being stupid and lacking common sense. People deeply resent that when they're told, you must buy this or else you'll pay a tax, a double whammy. And the Supreme Court went along with it. Big mistake. What other good or service does the government force you to buy? I can think of a few, but it's rather indirect. Auto insurance is the one, number one, that immediately comes to mind. People do not like to be told what to do. Now, there are people that want to be told what to do. We call them children. Not so much want, but need to be told what to do. But we're talking adults here. People resent it. Because what is America about? It's about choice. You have the freedom to choose a lot of things. Not only goods and services, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? It's about freedom and choice, and the success of free enterprise market capitalism is based on consumer sovereignty. The consumer is king. Governments don't, if they're smart, wise, don't tell the people what they have to do. Because once you do that, people start pushing back. And when they really find out that you lied to them as to what they were going to get, they're going to be mad. Especially when they had a health insurance plan that they were satisfied with. Maybe not 100%. There are very few things that people are totally pleased with. There's always room for improvement. But by and large, the American people were happy with their health insurance, about 80 to 85% or higher. Now, the reason for that is the majority of the American people get their health insurance through their employer. First, I want you to think about that. There's an historical reason for that, because we had wage and price controls during World War II. So the only way businesses, firms could attract people, couldn't give them more money, but they could give them benefits. And because of that fact, government intervention in the market, wage and price controls are a bad idea, but they compounded it. So now we're sort of stuck with it. The overwhelming majority of the American people get their coverage through their employer. What's the problem with that? Well, maybe it doesn't cover the medical services that you're truly interested in. Have you noticed that, ask people, you know, what are their recurring, and I emphasize recurring, medical bills? It's usually dental and eyeglasses, and as you get older, it's hearing. And you notice your medical plan doesn't cover that. Doesn't cover getting hearing aids, dental, or your eyeglasses. Now, yes, you can buy a dental plan. I understand that. But it's separate from your health insurance. Now, as long as they get the coverage through their employer, and most employers, not all, but most employers will pay the coverage, the price, for the employee. Why? It's a deductible, allowable deductible expense. It's written into the tax code. And yes, what Congress is trying to do is encourage that. They like to call it carrots and sticks. I like to call it incentives and disincentives. The incentive that will probably make it into a bill if it's ever passed is if you buy health insurance, you'll get a deduction. I call that social engineering because it gets out of hand. They want to encourage this, that, and the other thing. I always tell people, and I used to be in the business, by the way, of selling group health insurance as well as investments. If you're really concerned that you have good, outstanding medical coverage, then go to work for a company that, one, offers a plan and pays for it. And that usually means you're going to be working for a very large company because most small businesses can't afford it. But if that's your big concern, that's what you should do. Now, that's not, in my mind, the best way to lead your life. See, I have a different approach. I want the American people to keep most of their money. And that's a challenge because government is the problem. Government at all levels are taking more and more of your money. That's why most people have to have a second job or the husband and wife has to work. It's to pay taxes and fees, whether it's property taxes, sales taxes, payroll taxes, income taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and fees after fees after fees. They're always in your pocket. Gasoline taxes. What's out of control is government spending, and when government spending is out of control, what do? They tax you and tax you and tax you. And now, to make it equitable, and I understand the economic argument, not everyone works for a company that they get their health insurance through. So there is what they call the individual market. And in the individual market, because I sold both group and individual is different from the group market. In the group market, you're pooling risk because depending on the size of the group, you're spreading the risk around. It's insurance in the group market. And up until Obamacare, it was insurance in the individual market. But there's a difference between the two. And the difference is very simple. It's medically underwritten. They're going to ask you a series of questions. Why? They want to determine whether you have, quote, a pre-existing condition. Have you had a heart attack? Have you had cancer? Have you had a stroke? They're going to ask you some questions that are going to determine that. Let me clue you in, though. People lie. Like I said in the last show, people do lie. So what do you think the insurance companies do? They have a bureau, the Medical Information Bureau, to check out whether you're lying. And guess what? People do lie. I've had anyone that sells this knows that. Because what happens is, with a straight face, they'll answer all the questions, you submit the case, and it comes back. They're not going to issue the policy because they have underwriting. What are underwriters for? The first underwriter is the person asking you the questions. But they all also have at the corporate office, they're checking out whether the answers are right. So if you have pre-existing conditions, a serious one, there are different definitions, but I give you the more horrendous ones, they're not going to take you. You're out of luck. Go to work for a large company. They'll most likely pay for it, and you don't have to answer any questions, and you get lucky. But if you're self-employed, that can be challenging, especially if you have a pre-existing condition. Now, I'm not being cold about this, but you got to understand insurance is a business. It's not a charity, and it's not the government that can tax. What's wrong with the whole Republican and Democratic Party approach, as well as Trump's approach? We have to cover pre-existing conditions. Well, if you're going to force the insurance companies to do that, what are they going to say? No, we're not. No, we're not. Because that's not insurance. And it's not. And we've learned why it's not insurance. What happens? You've heard Obamacare is failing. It is failing. Why? You have what's called adverse selection. All the sick people, the people that have those pre-existing conditions, They were the first ones in line demanding to get an Obamacare plan. And many of them needed subsidies. And the insurance companies had to take them. In other words, the sickest and the oldest bought it. Who didn't buy it? People that are well, healthy, and young. They weren't going to pay the penalties. See, people push back when you use coercion. And that's what it was. A mandate is forcing people to buy something that many of them don't want to buy. And many of them, even if they want to buy it, can't afford it. And then they find out, especially the ones that did have coverage, that their deductibles are 3 to 5 times higher than they were used to. And the premiums are higher. And they're asking themselves, what good is this card? As Trump likes to say, you got to be run over by a truck to get any benefits. Now, that's an exaggeration, but for many young people, middle-aged people, that's true. Because the insurance industry knows, I know, where are the big claims, the benefits, when you really are going to get the benefit, if you think about it. I don't want the benefit. I want to be healthy. The largest claims are when the year you die. That's when the medical profession, the hospitals, the surgeons will spend a lot of time on you, trying to keep you alive, trying to keep you healthy. And in many cases, it's a lost cause. There's nothing they can do for you. It's the last year of your life. The challenge is you don't know what year that is. Many, many people, it's like it's the police. I don't want to get in guns, but there are many, many, I would say the majority of police officers have never pulled their pistol or weapon out of their holster, other than when they practice. In other words, when they're in the field, they never pull it out. And even if they pull it out, they never shoot it. And that's the same thing with health insurance in terms of the big stuff. I'm not talking about the doctor visits for a physical, or you have the sniffles or the flu, or you broke your arm or sprained your ankle. I'm talking big claims, the biggies, a heart attack, cancer, a stroke. Oh, yeah, they're pre-existing conditions once you have them. Usually, as you get older, the body falls apart. Eventually, we're all going to die. But before we die, we're going to have that last year. And that's when the big claims are. The insurance companies know this. They have reams and reams of data. They have actuaries that have studied this. They know it's going to happen. So how do you make money in this business? You have to pool the risk. And the bigger the size of the pool, the better. They know that depending on the size of the group, a certain percentage are going to have those big claims. Now, what messed it up? The government messed it up. Every time, almost every time the government intervenes, they screw it up. And that's what they have done to the health insurance industry. They're busybodies. They can't mind their own business. Oh, I love the propaganda. We're going to decrease regulation. And Trump, for every one new regulation, they got to kill two. What are they doing right now with this draft? This is federal regulation, the continuation of federal regulation of health insurance. Think about that. Insurance companies are innovators. Not as much as other industries, but they know their business. And yes, it's profitable, provided it's done on an actuarially sound basis, where you allow people to automatically enroll in get an individual plan, and it's not underwritten. You don't ask the medical questions. You get adverse selection, and that's exactly why they're losing their money. The sicker, older people bought the insurance. And the sicker, older people, guess what? They have the lion's share of the claims. A small percentage, and it is a small percentage, are responsible for the overwhelming majority of claims. And the only way it'll work is offsetting that, or younger, healthy people buying the insurance to pay for the medical services, hospital, doctors, therapists, the big bills, surgeries of the few that have made it to their last year of their lives. And that doesn't mean you're old. You can be a teenager in your 20s or older. But the big bills will be that last year. Actually, it's the last 6 months. And what are the Republicans doing? They want to federally regulate insurance. Now, what they're not telling you is, what are they keeping? And what does President Trump want to keep? Yeah, you got it. You've heard that word. Pre-existing condition. We have to cover pre-existing condition. I heard it once. I heard it hundreds of times from Democrats, Republicans, and people that don't understand insurance. Well, if we make us cover pre-existing conditions, it's not insurance. Now, the way to handle pre-existing conditions, the people that have it, is you set up a government pool, and it's a subsidy for the people that will have a recurrence of whatever that condition is. And some are chronic, some are like heart attacks, or some people have a heart attack. If they survive, they change their life cycle and never have one again. But many people don't change their lifestyle. They keep on eating, they keep on drinking, they keep on smoking, and yes, guess what happens? They have another heart attack. Same thing with cancer. They beat it once, and then they start smoking again. Or they have a stroke, and they smoke, or they don't exercise, they overeat. They know they're killing themselves. Remember, you have a choice. That is the wonder of the United States. You have a choice. Many people don't have many choices. And for most of human history, it was a struggle to survive. It was subsistence. For most of human history, people struggle just to find enough food to survive the next day or week. It is only really in the last 200 years that gradually the life expectancy has increased. And the reason is advances in medicine, science. And that's why more and more people are living into their 70s, 80s, 90s, or longer. Eventually, we all die. But depending on how you live, if you abuse yourself, and I mean self-abuse, smoke, drink, do drugs, stuff your face, overweight, guess what happens? You're going to get a pre-existing condition if you're lucky, or you're going to die. The Senate bill, as drafted, is not going to pass. Conservatives and libertarians in Congress are going to kill it. Either they repeal Obamacare clean or don't expect anything out of the Congress. All the American people want is a clean, complete repeal of Obamacare. If you're going to subsidize people, in other words, keep Obamacare subsidies in place, I don't care if it's at this 80% level, 90% level, or the 50% level, the American people will oppose it. The game is up. Forget about it. There's no hope, no change, as long as the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, the two-party tyranny, and that's what we have in Washington. They're both big government parties. They both intervene in the economy. Big interventionist government. That's what we have. That's why spending is out of control. That's why regulation is out of control. And the arrogant elitists think they can get away with it. They really think they can get away with it, and they have. It won't stop until we have a viable, successful third party that will replace one or both parties. More and more people are leaving both parties because they're sick of the propaganda, the lies, the deceit, the theater. How many votes did the Republican Party? We're going to repeal it. We'll repeal it. When they had to do it, they couldn't do it. In other words, they were lying to you. And that's what they're doing right now. Whether it's the House bill or the Senate bill, it's built on lies. Now, I'll quickly say there's some good things in it. So what? Go all the way, completely repeal it, or you're not going to get a lot of people's votes. The problem I have, I don't have a political party that truly believes in limited government and a candidate to vote for. But that might change sooner than many people expect because they're tired of this ping pong being played by both Democrats and Republicans. They're in rebellion, a slow rebellion, a peaceful rebellion, but they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it much longer. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.